We're getting back to our series this week and surviving the summer and really seeing how God wants to work in each of our lives as a result. Hopefully, as we've worked through this series and continue, what you're coming away with is you're coming away with knowing how to survive, because that is the message that God wants us to each have. Now, that whole issue of survival affects a whole lot of things that come into our world and come into our lives. One of those is our failures. And really, about our failures, surviving your past failures, it's how you're willing to look at failure is going to make the difference as to whether or not it seems like we have a balloon finally coming down. Thank you. You're the winner. You got it. I think that's from May, if I remember right. It's amazing how they can sustain so much. Anyway, so we're talking about how our attitude toward failure is and how we handle that. How many of you have ever failed at something? Okay, good. At least you're honest. Because if you've never failed, it means you've never tried. Because all of us have failed at one time or another. I really think this is a great thing to be able to remember. I'll give you a few examples of that maybe this will help encourage your thoughts. How many of you know who Babe Ruth is? Okay, good. You probably know Babe Ruth because of his home run record, 714 during his career. But along with those home runs came a pretty hefty amount of strikeouts as well, 1,330 in all. In fact, for decades, he held the record for strikeouts. When asked about this, he simply said, "Every strike brings me closer to the next home run." There's an attitude that's a part of how we respond to what is there. Michael Jordan, most people wouldn't believe that a man often landed or lauded as the best basketball player of all time was actually cut from his high school basketball team. Luckily, Jordan didn't let his setback stop him from playing the game. And he has stated, "I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I've been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." Fred Astaire. How many know who Fred Astaire is? Okay, yeah, okay. We still have some who would understand this. In his screen test, the testing director of MGM noted that Astaire can't act, can't sing, slightly bald, can dance a little. Astaire went on to become an incredible successful actor, singer, dancer, and kept that note in his Beverly Hills home to remind him of where he came from. Winston Churchill, this Nobel Prize-winning, twice-elected Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, wasn't always as well-regarded as he is today. Churchill struggled in school and failed the sixth grade. After school, he faced many years of political failures as he was defeated in every election for public office until he finally became the Prime Minister at the ripe old age of 62. So there's encouragement. Thomas Edison, in his early years, teachers told Edison he was too stupid to learn anything. Work was no better as he was fired from his first two jobs for not being productive enough. Even as an inventor, Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. Of course, all those successful attempts finally resulted in a design that worked. Albert Einstein. Most of us take Einstein's name as synonymous with genius, but he didn't always show such promise. Einstein did not speak until he was 4, did not read until he was 7, causing his teachers and parents to think he was mentally handicapped, slow, and antisocial. Eventually, he was expelled from school and was refused admittance to Zurich Polytechnic School. It might have been taken him a bit longer, but most people would agree that he caught on pretty well in the end, winning the Nobel Prize and changing the face of modern physics. Walt Disney. Today, Disney rakes in billions from merchandise, movies, and theme parks around the world, but Walt Disney himself had a bit rough start. He was fired by a newspaper editor because he lacked imagination. Boy, was that guy wrong. And he had no good ideas. After that, Disney started a number of businesses that didn't last too long, ended with bankruptcy and failure. He kept plugging along, however, and eventually found a recipe for success that worked. Today, we're talking about how do you handle failure? And when we think about that, and we think about what that means for each of our lives, there's a great importance of understanding that there's our attitude toward failure really makes the big difference on how we're going to deal with it. Here's what Scripture says: the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. The godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. Let's pray. Father, you know we need to hear this today. And you know you put this in motion. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts that we could understand how we can be more effective for you. In Christ's name, amen. The godly may trip seven times. You know, it's really important for us to be able to understand that all of us at one time or another are going to face some failure. We're going to face discouragement. We're going to face difficult times. We're going to face things that are challenging to us. They're hard for us to be able to work through and to overcome. There are a number of things that failure can bring into our lives. And this is the caution that we have to set up if we're not careful, because failure can bring a lot of things that can really discourage us. One, it could bring just discouragement. We kind of try hard, we kind of go out there and we try to do what we need to be doing, but it's easy for failure to bring discouragement. And we start letting it impact us and making us fearful as we would move forward. Because there's a great importance. You see, Scripture says, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him, otherwise he may be overcome by discouragement. This is dealing in 2 Corinthians with a man who struggled in 1 Corinthians and who had failed morally. Paul's words to him in 2 Corinthians is, okay, it's time to forgive and comfort. There's a time period when we have to work through our failure in spiritual ways, and we have to deal with that. But then there's a time when we need to move on. Only the enemy would like to hold us captive by whatever failure has been a part of our past and whatever has been a part of what is there. God has no plan to do that. His grace is enough to be able to forgive and help us to move beyond in each of our lives. There's also the danger of laziness that can be able to creep in. And we can find that that can hold us prisoner as well, because when we fail, we tend to want to give up. And so we sit back and do nothing. I think all of us have some areas in our lives where we have failed at that and we have let that create a scary place for us and are not willing to go there. We've let it hold us prisoner from that. All of us, especially, you know, it's really funny because we grow up as far as kids and in high school, and some of those failures that were a part of our lives were so damaging to us, and they kind of hold us prisoner, and they keep us from really realizing how God can use us, but they keep us back from moving forward and from trying things that we really should not be afraid to try. You kind of watch kids, and so many times kids, you know, they fall and they get up and go, and they fall and get up and go. But when adults start voicing those kind of voices of negativity into their lives, and they start seeing that, and when it starts coming from others, we start feeling we can't do things rather than we can. And so then we start pulling back. The Message says, so come on, let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. Yes, don't just let a failure hold you back and keep you from moving forward and doing what you need to be able to do. We can also see failure can hold us down with sin and weights that would slow us down from moving forward. We start to feel that I can't do this, and we start being negative, and then we start to see that kind of collapse around us. And pretty soon, that is weighing us down and holding us back from moving forward and doing what God has really called us to do. Scripture says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witness to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. It's easy when we have not been successful or we have failed to keep that in our mind, and all we can think of is the failure. Oh, if only. How many times have we said that? If only. If only. And pretty soon we're held prisoner by if only. Wouldn't you like to rewrite your life? Wouldn't you like to have a remote that could kind of rewind and say, okay, let's delete that part. Let's delete that one. Yep, and delete that one. But that's not the way life is. And so we must continue to be able to move forward. But we have to let go of those things that are part of past, that are part of failure, that are part of our lives that are there. A lack of joy, certainly a lack of joy can be a part of it. We can find ourselves in that point and place where we're so discouraged by the past failures that we just don't have the joy to be able to move forward. And the scripture says, those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. That's what God calls us to. He calls us to the point and place where we're going to have joy and gladness. We're not going to be held prisoner by the past. We're not going to be held prisoner by the failures that have been a part of what has been in our lives, but we're going to move forward knowing that God has something that is so much more for every one of us. Failure is a better teacher than success. Failure is a better teacher. Now, I want you to rethink failure. And that's why I'm sharing it in this perspective. I want you to really rethink, because what we tend to do is we tend to let failure discourage us. We tend to let failure label us. We tend to let failure say, okay, I can't. Instead of being able to say, well, this is something that God wants to teach as a result of what I'm going through. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Paul was very much familiar with all of this and very much familiar with what he would have anticipated as this is success and this isn't. We can see that all around, and yet there's such an importance of making sure we're going to learn as a result. So what is failure going to teach us? One, it's going to teach us determination. We're going to say, I am not going to be marked by this. I'm not going to be held down by this. And I am determined to be able to overcome this. I am determined that I'm going to move forward. No matter how many times we get knocked down, no matter how many times we experience failure, we have to be able to say, no, I am determined. Because there's a great importance of making sure I have the energy to come back. How many times we'll say, okay, this time I'm going to be really faithful in my devotions. I'm going to read my Bible every day. Or I'm going to make sure I do this. And we're going to say, I'm going to do this. And we have all these kind of goals spiritually that we're going to accomplish. They're going to be a part of our lives. And then we fail. And so instead we'll say, see, I can't do that. No. We must become determined to say, okay, I'm not going to let that hold me down. I'm going to regroup. I'm going to get up and go back and do what I need to do. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Don't you love that? See, there's some people who would say, God doesn't care about that. Well, oh, really? Well, how about the psalm? It says, he delights in every detail of their lives. That's an underliner if you want to make sure in your outline. Because the fact is, when we start thinking about that, God cares about every detail in my life. Wow. How can he do that? Well, he said he knows how many hairs are on our head. Well, It's easier for some of us than others. I get that. But the fact is, if he would even care about such a thing, then he would know, well, he cares about every detail of our lives. And so if we can be able to see that, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Would you read that to me? Because you need to remember this. Let's read it. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Isn't that great? Boy, you want to nail that one on the wall, because if there's anything failure can do to you, it can make you fearful and unwilling to move forward. It isolates, traps you, and thinks, I can't instead of I can, when Scripture says, though they stumble, they will never fall. The fact is, yeah, praise God. Failure teaches us character. It teaches us character. And so as we try to learn and grow in character, God is continuing to help us to learn and develop in our lives. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Yes. So character. I always, the character is really that kind of intuitive, that kind of strength within us that really tells who we are. Your character shows when no one's looking, what are you doing? When no one would find out, how do you handle this? I always tell my kids, it tells more about your character the way you leave a job than the way you perform a job. You see, when you perform a job, you're performing so you can be able to be seen and get acknowledgement. When you leave a job, you no longer have a responsibility to those people. And then how you handle that shows a whole lot more about your character than when you performed it. Why? We need to constantly be in the process of developing character. And how you handle the failures of your life helps you to be able to develop strength of character. Failure can also teach us strength. And so I'm going to keep getting stronger as a result of what takes place in my life. So the failure that comes to me and the struggles that will be a part of my life, they help me to develop the kind of strength that is needed. The Lord helps the fallen, and he lifts those bent beneath their loads. So God sees every detail of our lives. He's aware of all that is happening in our lives. And if he is, then we know that he is caring for every time we fail. You know, sometimes our failure is our own. I mean, we're beating ourselves up as a result, where God is saying, I have enough grace for this. I have enough grace for this. I can get you through this. Failure teaches us perseverance. That is that kind of dedication, that determination that I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going. No matter what I'm experiencing, no matter what comes to my life, no matter what is happening, I am not giving up. I am not quitting. I'm going to keep going. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was, and I'm going to keep moving forward by God's grace and his strength. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Make every effort. You see, it takes effort for us to be able to succeed. And so you have to, even when you fail. And sometimes it takes more effort after you fail than it did before, because now you're smarter about those kind of pitfalls. And you're maybe in a position where you're thinking, oh, I can't. Well, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of patient endurance, perseverance, and patient endurance, perseverance with godliness. Yes, that's what God wants to continue to develop in your life, a whole understanding of all that is a part of it. Failure teaches us humility. Because we all fail, we learn humility as a result. It's humbling to fail. It's so much harder when we fail, but so much more important that we learn humility and that we say, okay, I trust you, God. I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm not going to let this destroy me. If we claim that we're free of sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is errant nonsense. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all wrongdoing. Great rendering by the Message in that one. Yes, we have to be aware of the fact when we own our sin, we have the beginning of healing. We have to own it first and realize what is a part of my life. Failure teaches us compassion. Teaches us compassion because I have failed. I realize other people fail too. And I know the struggle that is a part of their lives and what is a part that is happening there. You know, I find sometimes this doesn't work. Sometimes this doesn't work and it doesn't teach us. You know, what you learn from failure is your determination of how you're going to respond to it. I see some people who fail in the same ways that other people fail, and they're very judgmental of the other people. And I think, really? Like, why would you be so judgmental of them for that failure? You had that failure in your past. And yet, like, you must have forgotten what God has forgiven and what people have forgiven you for. Like, it should teach us compassion. It should. It should put us in a place to say, I failed. I know what that pain that they're going through. I know what that's like, and that's a hard place. And I'm going to pray for you. And they might even come alongside somebody who fails and say, I know what that's like. I want you to know I have been there. I have failed in that way. But God has done this in my life in a great work. You know, failure can teach us some great things, and hopefully it teaches us how to be compassionate with others. Summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be passionate, compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you, no exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp tongue sarcasm. Instead, bless, that's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. Great importance of making sure that we're seeing compassion for those. Failure teaches us understanding also. I understand a whole lot more about life from what I have failed than what I have succeeded. And there's an important message that needs to be heard and known and experienced by all of us as a result. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. It gives us, teaches us a lot of wisdom. And the more we're aware of that, the more we're sensitive to that and realizing what God is working in our lives, the greater ways that we can be strengthened. So what do we do when I fail? There's a lot of things to learn as a result, but what do you do when you do fail? How should you handle that? How should you respond? Let's talk about Paul's experience. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. Paul must have faced a lot of shadows and ghosts about his past failures. He was doing it with the right intention, good intentions, but it was the wrong thing. I mean, you think about it, he would have persecuted Christians. There would have been those he had consented to the death of Christians, and he would have encountered their family members. And they would have wanted to say, oh yeah, well, I know what you have done. And they would have held him in a prison of his past failures had he allowed that to happen. Nobody can hold you in a prison of your past failures other than yourself. You don't have to let anybody else hold you there. That's your choice. You make a choice not to. Well, Paul says, I used to do this. I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy. God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. Isn't it funny how when you realize who we really are, how good we can feel about ourselves? Like, you would think this would make us feel worse. But instead, it makes us feel better because of what Christ has done in us and through us. And he says, he came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. So all honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Now, Paul faced past failures. So how did he deal with those? Well, first, I recognize that everyone fails. That's what I have to do. See, sometimes in my quietness and in my mind, I think I'm the only one who fails. I think I'm the only one who can't do this. But I have to recognize that everyone fails. Everyone. For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Every one of us. We fall short because even in my human efforts, I can never be perfect. My heart can be perfect and I can want to do the right thing, but the end results are never perfect. And so there's always going to be ways that we will disappoint one another. We will just, fall short of what somebody else's expectation is. It's going to happen. But how we deal with it, how we respond to it is going to be important. I must remember that God still loves me and his forgiveness is not dependent on my success. God still loves me and his forgiveness is not dependent on my success. You get that? I don't have to succeed for God to love me or forgive me. No, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So in the midst of who I am, the ugliness of who I am, God still loves me. He still forgives me. And he loves me in the midst of that. Not when I get myself succeeding. Not when I do my best and now it's really recognized by others. In the midst of my failure, he still loves me. I learn and grow from my failure. I'm not going to let that keep me down. I'm going to learn and grow from it. And so my question then comes, Lord, what do you want to teach me through this failure? What do I need to learn? Here I am again. I failed again. I really wanted to succeed this time, Lord. I really wanted to get on top, but here I am again. What do you want to teach me as a result of this? This is what the Lord says. When people fall down, don't they get up again? When they discover they're on the wrong road, don't they turn back? Yes. The answer is yes. When people fall down, we get up again. We don't allow ourselves to be held down because we failed. I need to continue to say, I am not going to stay there. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to go beyond. I'm going to raise up as a result. I must put failure behind me. Now, anybody who's going to bring your failures back to your present is not a message from God. That is a message from the enemy because he's going to want to discourage you. He's going to want to bring your failures of past into your present. God is not doing that. You've got to make sure you're going to be willing to say, I am not going to be held down by my past failures. I am not going to be put in subject to that. I'm going to move beyond that because God has more. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell on the past. That's that self-talk, that negativity that's going to keep coming back into your head to say, you can't do this. You're going to say, I can through Christ who gives me strength. The fact is, to find triumph in failure is the message that we need to have. How do I find triumph in failure? Doesn't that sound like this doesn't go together? It does, but in God's kingdom, it does. It does go together. It works. And so here's what scripture says. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race, receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Now, this applies to success and failure in your past. It's important. This is not just a message of failure, but it's a message of success. Sometimes we need to put our success behind, and we need to press on, because we'll allow that to hold us back just as much. We have to be aware of the fact that we cannot be trapped by past failures. I must acknowledge and admit my failure. You're never going to succeed unless you acknowledge and admit it. I failed. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I realize that. Lord, I acknowledge before you. Maybe you have to acknowledge before someone else. Maybe you need to go to them and you need to say, I failed. I need to ask your forgiveness. I own my problem and my responsibility. And so we admit that. Many people look at their past failures and fear the risk of pursuing a vision. Their motto is, at first you don't succeed, destroy all of the evidence that you've tried. Don't be held back by the failure that's been there. I must forgive myself. Sometimes that's the hardest forgiveness to extend. I have greater difficulty forgiving me than forgiving others. Sometimes it's personality, sometimes whatever, but that's how my mind and psyche work. I must forgive myself. Just because I failed in the past does not mean I have to give up on the future. Just because I failed in the past doesn't mean I have to give up on the future. No, you need to be determined. I have to forgive myself. If God forgives you, are you bigger than God that you can't forgive yourself? You need to forgive yourself. You need to let go. Otherwise, it's going to constantly trip you up and hold you back. The fact is, I have to keep my focus on the future and not my past failure. So I forgive myself. Now I'm going to change my focus. Because if I keep letting that come back, it's going to hold me prisoner. God remembers my faith, not my failure. God remembers my faith, not my failure. And so I need to hold on to that and move forward. I need to ask God, what is God teaching me through this failure? Lord, what are you teaching me? What do you want me to learn? What is it that you want to make sure I'm understanding? When you go through failures, what are your first questions? Why are people doing this to me? Now, that may be one of them, not a good ending. Why is God allowing this to happen to me? Not a good ending. Or you may think, I have been keeping my prayer life up to date. I have been walking with the Lord and obedient to his word. So why should this happen to me now? Better questions to ask might be, what can I learn through this experience? What is God teaching me through this failure? See, how you're going to respond to what comes into your life and into your world is going to matter. That's going to make all the difference. So the best, you can stay at that former point and place when these questions were here, where you're saying, why is God allowing this to happen to me? Why are people doing this to me? I've been doing everything I knew how to, and yet this is happening. You can go there, but if you do, you're going to find it a dead end. You're not going to feel satisfied. There's not going to be good news on the other side of that door. What you need to be asking is, What can I learn through this experience? All right, I failed. I own it, I admit it, I acknowledge it. Now what do I do? Now what do I do? I may face consequences for my failure, but these can be a reminder to me that God will always be with me. See, just because I ask God's forgiveness, I acknowledge and admit my failure, doesn't mean there aren't any consequences that come with it. Sometimes there's consequences, and those aren't erased because I have not handled things or done things well. They just don't go away. Now, sometimes, I can't explain when and why. Sometimes it seems like it doesn't, and we seem to escape it, but many times not. You know, it's just an important message that we have to learn, and all I have to continue to be reminding myself is that God is walking with me. Remember, I only fail when I stop trying. I only fail when I stop trying. And so I can't do that. I can't go there. Our greatest glory is not in never failing, but in rising each time we fail and each time we fall. So there's an importance of making sure I'm going to continue to go on. I'm not going to give up. God has ultimate victory for me as I trust him and as I rely on his work through me. God only sees our efforts, not our successes. In our world, what do we all look for? Success. What does God look for? The efforts. He wants to see that you are willing to follow through. Would you read this together with me? For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. One more time. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Not a hard verse to memorize. Pretty easy for us to be able to put in place. The fact is that God wants to work in each of our lives as we put our trust in him. I don't know what the failure is that you may have faced or you may have gone through, but I know the God who wants to work in your life in spite of and because of the failure that you've experienced. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the victory that you want to bring into our lives amidst failure. Lord, I don't know what it is that each person has gone through or what they're going through even right now. Maybe they feel so overwhelmed by things that have happened in their life, they find it difficult to rise after falling once again. But Lord, help them to know the power of God to work in each of our lives despite all that the enemy would like to throw at us. Help us to know victory. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And Lord, you look at our efforts, not our success. So if we fail one more time, it's bringing us closer to that success that you're wishing and wanting to build in us as overcomers. Help us to see that, Father. We give you thanks for what you're going to accomplish in Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you and go with you.